Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety. We have started this show based on a 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. And it's a great plan. I've talked about it for the last 2 months. It's a working document, and in that document, there have been startling statistics. We know that drowning is the number one cause of death for Hawaiian children aged 1 to 15. Hawaiian residents' drowning rate is the second highest in the country. Less than 2% of Hawaii's second graders have the basic skills to avoid to recover from drowning. And although Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders make up 27% of Hawaii's population, they make up 36% of resident drowning deaths. And 90% of snorkeling incidents are visitors. And what the message is from this document is that drowning is preventable. And that's why we started the show. For the last two episodes, we've interviewed state, local, and international drowning experts. And today we have a special guest. But the show is to inform listeners how to stay safe in and around Hawaii waters. Just last week, the governor signed a bill into law around detention and retention ponds and fencing. And in that news conference, he held up the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan and said, everyone should read this. If you take it seriously, we can save lives. I think that was an important message. And our guest today is somebody that I have mentioned almost in every interview so far. I met him 2 years ago when he said at a Nakamakai event that he runs, we're all in this together, whether we surf, fish, boat, paddle. We have a responsibility to keep each other safe in and out of the waters. So today, our guest is Dwayne DeSoto, a world champion waterman, educator, and founder of Nakamakai, a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering keiki through ocean-based education and cultural stewardship. Through Nakamakai, he has reached thousands of children across Hawaii, helping to instill confidence, ocean safety, and a deep sense of kuleana for our waters and each other. Dwayne was named one of the Pacific Business News 2025 most admired leaders. This recognition highlights not only his leadership in business, but also his lifelong commitment to ocean stewardship, culture, education, and empowering keiki through the work of Nakamakai. He joins us today to talk about the power of connecting youth to the ocean, the role of culture and safety education, and how we can all work together to create a safer, more sustainable future for Hawaii's waters. Dwayne, welcome to our show, Deep Dive into Water Safety, and I look forward to you talking today about Nakamakai.
Thank you so much, Margaret. It's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to talk story with you about our keiki and our beautiful ocean that surrounds these islands.
Well, tell me something about Nakamakai and its impact. You know, look back on how the program began. It began in 2008, and you were a leader in this work that the Water Safety Plan has talked about long before the policy caught up in creating this kind of culture. Can you tell us some more about this program, how it started, and where you are now with it?
Definitely. You know, I had the privilege of being a professional surfer since I was 16 years old. And through that professional career, traveling all over the world. And the biggest takeaway for me was how unique my upbringing was at Makaha Beach. Between the uncles and aunties and my own family giving me access to the ocean, you would automatically think everybody has the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Especially as a kid on food stamps and always thinking, wow, we're poor, we don't have this, we don't have that. But the ability to have a career that took me to new places and see what was going on around the world made me look at home where as unique as it was. You know, nowhere else was like Makaha. Nowhere else was giving the nonstop daily immersion into waterman culture, whether it's fishing, diving, surfing, canoe surfing, all the various ocean activities. And that made me realize when I looked around Hawaii that there was a lot, you know, majority of our children were not getting the access to not only the ocean, but the cultural perspective of the ocean, which for me is super, super important because it instills kuleana. It also instills the responsibility and the reciprocal relationship that we have that our kupuna teach us. You know, we don't just go to the ocean to take, we go to the ocean to live. And in order to live, we also have a responsibility to care for that ocean and the community that loves it. Through my work early on, I did not know all the statistics around the lack of swimming, the lack of access, but it definitely became very obvious and alarming to me that, wow, I mean, you know, because I'm diving into this, I'm getting access to what only Ocean Safety and the Department of Health are talking about. And ironically, at the time, the focus was being sponsored by the Hawaii Tourism Authority, so it was always slanted and leaning towards tourism, which I also thought was super alarming because the conversation at the time was talking about the drowning rates of tourists, and it was 45% of the drowning rate was tourists. And actually 55% of the drowning rate were local. But yet we were talking about the tourism side of the drowning only. And this privilege came because of my invitation to the ocean safety conferences through guys like Ralph Godo, who used to run the ocean safety department for the city and county. And, you know, it took me time to understand what I needed to do and what was important because there wasn't any energy around it yet. So it was also, you know, for me to understand, like, whoa, I see this, I know this, and apparently I got to do something about this. I got to start to try and see how I can influence some change. And the conversation around that change, a lot of times I had to speak to what people could understand, you know, and so the drowning rates were very obvious to speak to what was important. And then while I was speaking about the obvious numbers and the obvious issues, I was inserting the fact that we have a cultural responsibility here as island people, where we live surrounded by ocean and we're neglecting, and I use that word very powerfully, we're neglecting to educate our children about this beautiful ocean that they have as a resource. We're not actually giving it to them. And meanwhile, we're having these staggering low swimming rates and drowning rates and terrible drowning rates. So, again, it was truly a privilege to witness what was missing here in Hawaii in the ocean, and then apply it to my work that I continue 17 years later.
Yeah, it's a gold standard in my opinion, and to a lot of other people, what you're doing with this program, because it just doesn't work with children. It's also educating educators. You supply that part of the pillar that's really important. Because unfortunately, as we talked 2 years ago on the beach in Kalapaki, as a member of the KLA board, you were talking about the Department of Education having water safety in the schools. And so we're still pushing for that. It's unfortunate, as you just said, it's a cultural responsibility to, you know, have that education. We're surrounded by water, and we're losing people, losing children at a high rate. To drowning.
Yes. Through drowning. Yes. And it's been interesting because, as you were saying, it's not a part of the system. And the system is, you know, a very busy system with each grade having an average around 10,000 students. Our teachers and the system itself is under a lot of strain.
Yes.
And so the resources of both time and money are limited. So it became obvious that I wasn't trying to like create something after it was funded or after somebody said yes. I had to create something beforehand and then have the physical materials, whether it's our ocean safety video or our ocean safety booklets, our activity books, so that when the time comes and the trigger is pulled that someone inside the department says yes, then the distribution can happen immediately. And that did occur. So I want to say this upcoming school season will be the fourth school year where our ocean safety video link and our activity books will be mailed to every single elementary school across the state. And targeting fourth grade, but it's up to the school. They could use it at anywhere between second and sixth grade to use the program. And, you know, that came through the Department of Physical Education, seeing what we're doing. George Centale saw what we're doing and realized he had the side resources to allow this to happen. Where we couldn't get it through the top of the DOE, he saw the opening through the physical education side.
Well, that's good to know. We had Mike Tipton on, who is an international drowning prevention researcher and advocate, who has told us about what he calls lessons for life. 20 minutes of instruction in schools that should be mandated, talking about just what you're talking about, riptides, staying safe in the ocean, that becomes part of their daily education. It's good to know that this has happened in the physical education departments, but it's just a start. And without your work, it wouldn't be anything at all. And I want to get into Nakama Kai and what resources you have, because on your website, there's all kinds of things that people can download for their kids. I've passed around the music that you introduced me to 2 years ago. I find it really great, and I've turned it on to a lot of teachers who had no idea about it. So why don't we just get into the program and talk about Children of the Sea program, the Kai framework, all that kind of information for our listeners. That'd be great.
Awesome. And it's interesting, right? We have our British counterparts, you know, way over there on the other side of the ocean.
Yes.
Trying to figure out the same issues.
Yes.
And it's really cool because their perspective is going to add to our perspective.
Yes.
And they have different resources, and also they have different motivations. And those motivations we have to take advantage of as a precedent for us to also realize that we, as the ocean culture, should be doing way more. We, as the people who shared the waterman culture with the world,
yes,
actually have a responsibility to be ahead of the game, not alongside and not, following everybody else's lead. We actually have a great opportunity to lead.
There was 2 years ago, the first article I ever brought to a board meeting was Hawaii can and should be the leader in ocean and aquatic safety. And I still believe that today. And I think you're absolutely right. This is an issue that we're involved with internationally, not just locally or not, you know, but internationally. And it is a public health crisis, you know, that has been stated by the World Health Organization and the CDC. So I agree with you that we can learn from them and they can learn from us in terms of what we're doing for water safety.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, we do have we do lead in so many ways, right? So it's not that we're not taking the lead, but we're not seizing all the opportunities of leadership. So I mean, I grew up around Brian Kialana, who shared how to use jet ski ocean safety
yes.
with the Navy SEALs. He trains them, you know, him and Archie Kalepa and their team. So we do have leadership in some forms. It's just that as an island peoples, it really has been excluded from our daily lives due to, you know, being busy, having other priorities.
Right.
And basic survival, staying here, you know, you just
yes.
having your lights on and your refrigerator full of food is a lot to do for a family. And cost of living is that impact, right, on us having that spare time to share the ocean. And then I also mentioned that, you know, just the other sports, because you can get college scholarships for football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, et cetera. You're going to try and focus your children on, if you're going to put your energy into them, you know, getting the opportunity to maybe get a college scholarship. And those are all things that take away from being able to access the ocean. I saw the biggest influx of surfing during COVID because nobody could go to the parks. So all of a sudden, the parents who were taking their kids every day to football, baseball, basketball, et cetera, they were taking their kids surfing every day. And that was the one accessible sport, the ocean. So, you know, we have a lot of reasons why the ocean is not always accessible. And that's also because of choices. You know, I want to reference back to programming. So we started off with our ocean clinics. Eventually I came up with KAI, Know Your Limits, Ask a Lifeguard, Identify the Hazards. So that was an obvious one for me because the SOAK acronym wasn't very applicable in our culture. You know, S-O-A-K, okay, SOAK. Well, you know, does that have as much of a ring to it or an impact? So KAI,
right.
It took me time, you know, to sort of see, like, how can I make it simpler and work? So KAI worked in the form of K-A-I is our ocean. And we can simplify it with some rhymes and some rhythm. So know your limits. You can apply that anywhere, not even just the ocean. You can be in the mountain doing activities. You can be climbing, you know, rock climbing. It doesn't have to be ocean oriented. And then Ask a Lifeguard is really about ask a lifeguard, a professional or an adult, you know, so you could be hiking in the wilderness or river rafting. You don't have to be necessarily at the ocean for Ask a Lifeguard. It's more about asking an authority or an older person, which also implements that you should be letting people know where you are. And then identifying the hazards, that's a long tradition of any culture to just observe what's going on. Take the time to watch the conditions, especially if you're at the ocean. You know, the winds, the waves, the currents. And I always like to make a huge point about watch the humans. You know, a lot of people take for granted that actually the humans are some of the most dangerous pieces of the ocean environment, right? Because
right.
of their surfboards, et cetera. So that's a tool that we then applied to our music, like you said, which you can find on iTunes. We had Kimye and Paula Fuga help with the writing of the songs. And some of them are very educational, you know, like rhythmatic for like really young children. And then some of them are just really awesome, you know, music to hear on the radio, like Holokava'a by Paula Fuga.
Yes.
It's a song that I can see you just hanging out at the beach and listening.
Right. I have it on the playlist.
Yeah, it's super fun, you know, and,
yes.
and that was spawned out of an idea that I had a long time ago to do, but, you know, doing the physical work of Nakamakai is time-consuming, and at the time I was kind of a solo artist with a ton of volunteers, and what happened was COVID came, and now I could not do my in-person activities, so within 2 months of COVID hitting, I talked to my board immediately, sort of envisioning this is not a short-term thing. And I got them to understand my vision shift. And we started working on producing number one, the music album, and then number two, our cartoons, which you can find on YouTube. And the idea behind creating these entities is that you don't have to be at the beach to learn. You can be at home, you can be in your car listening to the music, your kids can be watching it on YouTube, on their iPads, anywhere. And you're having this fun, interactive-ish, because you get to sing along with it, educational reference that, you know, there's an option compared to what's out there. There's a lot of other stuff out there that the kids don't need.
Yeah, what I... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I noticed when I was there 2 years ago in Kalapaki was that you had teachers at this Nakamakai event, which I thought was very good. So you had kids learning about, and you could talk about this, because a lot of people here don't know about Nakamakai. So maybe you could just tell us what went on at Kalapaki and how the teachers were involved.
Definitely.
Okay.
So that's another program. We'll be back in Kalapaki in August, actually. And what it is, you know, another extension into trying to break through into the DOE, the Department of Education. So, you know, one aspect was our coloring books, activity books, and our video. And the other was realizing, you know, why not work with the DOE? So in order to encourage some of that change, there's these PDE3 courses, and it's a very unique opportunity for teachers to take our PDE3, and they get credit for that, and then they also get, you know, recognition on their pay scales. So the more PDE3s they do, they get to have these certifications that make their teaching stronger, and we get to then now share our curriculum through this process. And then they're actually taking our curriculum and redigesting it into a form that you can deliver to the classroom that they would use. So it's a win-win. You know, finding the funding is a little fun, but in the end of the day, we have a product that is for the teachers, by the teachers, with all of our cultural assets completely aligned. It's a true win-win.
I agree with that. So how do people know, how do teachers know, maybe at Hanalei Elementary or Kilauea Elementary, how do they find out about this, and how do they sign up children for the Nakamakai program in August?
Yeah, we push it out there through Education Incubator is who we've contracted out to help us with, you know, designing this whole program.
Okay.
And I think teachers can look on the PDE3E course calendar. I think there's an access to that.
Okay.
What I can do is try and find out more after to give you a little more detail.
Okay. And then if somebody wants to send their child to this event in August, how do they do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can sign up right on our website.
Oh, okay. So nakamakai.org, that's where it's at? Okay.
Nakamakai.org. And if there's any questions, info@nakamakai.org. And we have a couple people who answer those emails. So
okay,
we'll get back to you. And we really do want to have participation. We're also joining Hanalei for their Hoakea, their first canoe festival. So
you are.
That's coming up right before the PDE3.
Well, tell me more about that.
We'll be there with our canoe from Oahu.
Oh, okay. So can you tell me more about that?
Definitely. I want to mention one thing before we go into that, just so that I don't forget.
Yep.
So in this adventure, I've been lucky enough to, you know, finally get a staff. And so we've been able to scale and really create a lot more opportunities for more children. And we're on our third season of providing swim lessons to Lili'uokalani Trust, and we're doing the swim lessons in the ocean.
That's great.
So we're piloting. Sorry?
That's great.
Yeah, we're piloting this opportunity. Number one, because we do have ocean surrounding us. So while we are limited by certain communities not having pools, we're not unlimited at actually finding the right swimming conditions and right opportunities to offer our children the same chances to learn how to swim. So I have contracted out Leahy Swim School and their instructors. So I'm not trying to be a swim instructor. I don't want to, you know, have to take the many, many years that Ben Comer has to build those skills up of actually, you know, being able to teach a child swimming and it actually work. You know, these guys do it for a living.
Right.
And what we've been able to do through the Department of Education with Superintendent Keith and our Y&I CAS, Disa Hagi, we are going to do our first pilot. All fourth graders from Nanakuli to Makaha are going to have 5 20-minute swim lessons in the ocean with our team. And we're hoping that what we are doing at this point is just the beginning of what we can do statewide through our public school education systems.
That's excellent. Mike Tipton happened to say that it's great that we give swimming lessons in a pool, but the conditions in an ocean are very different, or a river or anything else. So I commend you for starting that project, and hopefully that will go statewide to every county, because that makes total sense, and keeping everyone safe and understanding ocean safety.
You know the key word, right? It's persistence.
No, I think you're razor focused, Duane.
Well, it's been a privilege, like I said before, that I get to do a job that I truly love doing. And in that process, I can keep pushing the subjects. I can keep pushing on the doors. And eventually, you know, people who are receptive will open the door. And that really has been the difference, you know, because if you think you're going to come in and create change by some, you know, quick fix mindset, you know, that's not how you change decades of what is already going on. It takes time. It also takes, you know, doing things thoughtfully with people. You know, if you force people in these agencies to do something, then they don't want to do it. Then you find out the hard way that you know you want to make allies with everybody, and really the truth is, when we work together, these bigger projects can happen. Just got to keep going.
That's a great message, and there's one thing I want to talk about before I forget, and that is in the current article of Civil Beat, you happen to say, we talk about messaging, which the mayor was on here talking. We got to have messaging. We got the wrong messaging. And you're quoted as saying, we need to have conversations. It's got to be a cultural piece in here. And we just can't tell people what to do. So I think that's right. And I just want to hear more about what you have to say. And I guess that's what I wanted to say there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we are culturally so unique here in Hawaii. I mean, worldwide, we are culturally unique, because not only do we have all these different cultures, but we have a mutual respect here. But that also means that when you say things one way, it doesn't always resonate with everybody. And really, if we want to see change, we already have four different counties, right, with four different messages. So we have to also realize, like, we're not going to tell anybody what to do. That doesn't make sense. You yourself doesn't want somebody telling you what to do. So why would that be your approach? But what we got to do is open the doors to understanding who we're talking to. So if, you know, Big Island's drowning rates come from Opihi pickers and various ocean local people. So they have higher local drowning rates, right?
Right.
When you come to Oahu, you have higher tourist drowning rates. So already the message is clear that the conversations are different. Just from those simple notes. And really what we want to do is open up the conversation, because there is so many great ideas out there. And I know that's the harder work. I know that is a Pandora's box of a lot of chaos, for one. But what you're doing when you open that box is you're acknowledging that everybody has thoughts and feelings and ideas, and also contribution to the end result. And so once you allow people to speak their side and speak their voices, they're more likely to listen, number one, you know?
Right.
Like, you're going to get people who want to hear what you have to say now that they've been heard. It's not 100%, but you're creating the space that allows for the listening. And that's where we got to be creative, you know? Knowing humans and knowing that, you know, you can make 100 laws. Well, laws don't mean anything if they're not enforced, number one. So the impact of a law is only if you think you're going to get caught, then a lot of people don't follow it, you know?
Right.
And so you want it to be more where they adopt the ideas. They hanai these concepts into their life. And that's really, you know, something that our ancestors, like Duke Hanamoku, the watermen, they didn't tell you what to do. They went out there and did it with you and showed you the ocean, gave you the experience. After that, you harnessed the growth yourself because you got introduced. But it was an inclusive thing, you know. It was a we thing, a us thing. And that was why the impact was so powerful. Today, obviously, we're in different times with different influences and different medias. And so we also have an influx of outside people that don't always want to assume what Hawaii values are. So we're like also climbing the hill sometimes, you know, because people want to come here and bring what they have from where they're from instead of adopting to what we have already been curating for generations. And so we got to understand that too. It's like, okay, we got all these people that come in. How do we communicate with those guys?
Right.
You know, how do we get them on board? We got to onboard them, whether we like it or not. It's not our responsibility to have everybody understand us. But if we want to move forward, we got to understand that, well, if we don't look at it from that perspective, some people are not going to care and some people are not going to listen.
It's a challenge. And I forgot to mention that you played the Duke and Duke Ambassador of Aloha, which is a great movie that I think should actually be required viewing for everyone, because it really talks about
him. You're not the first one to say that, by the way. It's true. You're right.
It should be required of everyone coming to the islands and everyone who lives here. And I just thought it was great. So, and it says what it the message is exactly what you've been trying to say today to our listeners. And we had two lifeguards on last week, and they said they were ambassadors of Aloha. And a lot of people don't understand that concept. But
I have a simple way of explaining this. And like that movie shows you, is what Aloha really means, right? And if you look at what Duke did, he wasn't an Aloha who he just gave everything away. He actually stood for what was right and what was wrong. He was clear about that through his life. And if you really want to understand what a waterman should look like, what a real Waikiki Beach Boy should look like, what a real lifeguard should look like, they should stand next to Duke. And if you can stand next to Duke and you acknowledge that he would look at you and he would see you and see you're awesome, then you're actually upholding the cultural asset that he'd given the entire world.
That's a great message, and maybe that's some of the messaging that we should have as a broader message for water safety. And I think you should take the leadership in developing that message. Well, I do.
Yeah, it's a lot of kuleana though. So, you know, and it's a lot of mindset changing because, you know, I don't even blame anybody in the industries for them not being able to uphold Aloha, because our society hasn't afforded that opportunity. But in the end of the day, we all still have a choice. You know, even if it's not being afforded by what is our societal norms nowadays and the struggle is real, we still have a choice. And we got to try our best to make the choice that sits along the side of, you know, how good things are. The cup is half full. you know, we actually are very, very fortunate where we are. We're very fortunate to be where we are, be around the people we're around. And, you know, I think some people need to take a really long visit to somewhere else and then come home to realize that, you know?
Right. Well, I'm counting on you to lead the way on this messaging, because it's a big issue that was brought up. And we can have all our individual messages, but we need one message that actually expresses the values and the culture of who we are. And then we can target down to the OPE pickers and everyone else. But you've
Absolutely.
Always presented a really good message constantly, and you've always been ahead of everyone else in terms of understanding this. So I really appreciate you coming on. It's been great.
Thank you.
But I want to hear, Duane, about what you're doing in Honolulu. That was the last thing I kind of wanted to hear. You said you were coming with a sailing canoe.
Certainly.
Or what?
So some of us are, like Archie Kalapa, myself, Ohana Va'a from Hawaii Island are bringing Makali'i. There's going to be various canoes that are going to sail to Kauai for the first annual Hanalei Ho'akea.
Wow.
So it's being hosted by Pilika Andrade and her team. And basically, we've been running Ho'akeas here on Oahu.
Right.
In Hakipu'u for many years. And then we've had a couple of them at Poka'i Bay now. And then we went to Maui. And now we did Big Island. And now we're going to Kauai. So this is a program that is being shared throughout the state. We got our friends Marlene and Pauline are going to be, you know, we have Malama Learning Center, and we have one other entity. The name's escaping me.
That's okay. What date is this?
Let me look at my calendar really quick. Because we have like 3 weeks we're going to be there. I want to make sure I give you the exact.
You're going to be here in Honolulu for 3 weeks?
We're going to be between Honolulu and Kalapaki.
Okay.
So I want to say it's the 23rd. Yeah. So August 23rd is the Honolulu Ho'akea.
Okay.
Ohana and Honolulu Pier. That's an all-day thing.
Does the Honolulu Canoe Club know about this? Because they're part of the Hawaiian Civic Club, and they have the largest group of paddlers, young kids, in the county.
So Kahanu Keawe is also helping with organizing this with Pelika Andrade.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the Canoe Club knows about it.
Okay.
It's a pretty big deal.
That's great.
We plan on sailing there unless the weather conditions aren't good, because we have smaller canoes. Ours are 30 feet. Makali'i and other canoes are going to sail for sure. And of course, unless there's really bad weather.
Right.
And then we'll do Ho'akea, and then the next day, some of our canoes are going to sail around the coast to the west side.
That's great. So what would you do in Honolulu? Is it it's targeted to children or everyone? Or
so all the elementaries have already received the in-class educational part of the Ho'akea.
Okay.
And so what Saturday will be is the invitation to everyone to come down and experience the canoes.
That's fantastic.
There are going to be workshops. There'll be land activities. There'll be canoe activities. I don't want to commit that we're actually doing sales, but there might be opportunities for sales on the smaller canoes. So, you know, try and look out for that. We're still developing everything, and of course it's weather pending as well. We always make sure that one of the biggest learning tools we've gone through is to know that the weather tells us what to do, not the schedule.
I could probably talk to you for 2 hours. I know you're doing this program in other places like Tahiti and Brazil and places like that. But I'm hoping that you will continue this work and to create the right message on a state level for water safety, for drowning, because drowning is preventable, and that's why we're doing this show. And to me, you've been the person I talk about every time somebody comes on, because I believe we're all in this together, whether we surf, boat, paddle, swim. It has stuck with me, and I think what you're doing is just really great for the state.
Well, oh my God. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Drowning is preventable. But it takes all of us, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't take just the smaller community of ocean people. It takes the understanding. You know, when you walk into a room, just ask who knows how to swim.
Right.
And you'll get a bunch of adults who don't, born and raised in Hawaii.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's what they're passing on. They're passing on that they don't swim.
Right.
And then one of the things I've seen the worst about the ocean is fear, placing fear. So in order to get their children not to drown, I've seen parents instill fear. Fear, oh, you're going to drown, you're going to drown, you shouldn't go in the ocean.
Right.
All the way to, no, I don't want to take you in the water. You know, the waves are too big, and the child is still like, no, Dad, come on, we're at the beach. I want to go. I'm literally watching this, right? And eventually, no, you know what? The shark's going to eat you. They're not going to take you in the ocean. And it's like, well, fear is like an immediate, like, prevention. But in the long term, it is not. You know, eventually they're going to be on their own and go in the ocean, and they're not going to have the skills.
Right.
And yeah, like anybody, you know, you can learn how to swim in the pool, but the ocean actually has dynamics.
Yes.
That the pool doesn't have. So now you're also not properly preparing them for the ocean, because you're giving them part of the skills.
Correct.
And not all of them. But, you know, there's an assumption that all of us need to make who love the ocean and love going in the ocean. And that assumption is that we make an agreement with ourselves at the risk we're taking. And at that point, when you make that assumption, you realize all the potentials that are out there. You know, you've acknowledged that, and you still continue to go in the ocean. And that was told to me by one of my uncles. And I already was doing that assumption in my head, but I wasn't vocalizing it. And I wasn't articulating that mindset, but I was doing it. And it's an agreement that I could potentially drown. I could potentially get eaten by a shark. I could potentially so many things, you know?
Right.
And so now that I made that agreement, I'm also consciously being more careful, you know, watching what's around me a lot more carefully and not taking it for granted.
I think you should work on this message, Duane. I really do. I am going to tell all our listeners to go to nakamakai.org. I think they all need to look at the music that you've created. I've given it to very many people and told them they can download it on Apple or Spotify. It's a great album and very educational. Kai as a framework is great. And everything you've done for education, I see as a gold standard, and I think more and more people need to know. And I just want to say how much we appreciate you coming on and telling us all about Nakamakai, and I'm expecting more great things from you, Duane. So keep up.
Thank you, Margaret, and thank you to you for amplifying the message.
Well, it's a good message.
Important
to have you on helps. I look forward to seeing you August 23rd Hanalei. So let's stay in touch, and congratulations again for your award as a Pacific Business News Most Admired Leaders. Thanks again, Duane, for coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye.